somatic, that is to say, body rest. We've explored visual rest. There's one more fundamental sense modality, that's auditory. Somatic rest is always available. You can always settle into your posture. You can always be aware of the natural relaxation on each out-breath. Now, those restful states may not be intense relative to the non-rest, but at least they're always available. So you could work with body rest. Visual rest also is always available. Just watch how things get dark as you close your eyes. You can focus on the dark. Maybe inside that darkness, some people find brightness that they like to focus on, or just the mixture of the two. I call it grayscale blank. Grayscale means level of illumination from black to bright light to anything in between. That's called the grayscale. So if you let go of your investment, you let go of interest in color or form. Color and form in Sanskrit is called rupa, and that also means matter. It has both of those meanings. If you let go of color and form, and you're just interested in bright or dark, that creates a visual experience that is restful. So with your eyes closed, all you have to do is look, and that's the grayscale blank, one form of sea rest. Some people are able to have their eyes open, but they just sort of soft focus, refocus, and that's another form of sea rest that's always available. In the martial arts, like, karate, kung fu, qigong, those kinds of things in East Asia, they intentionally defocus their eyes when they practice the martial arts. And they call it far mountain gazing, like you're looking at a far mountain. And it turns out you can process visual information better that way, faster, than if you're looking at this, looking at that. So the visual restful states also are available anytime we want to work with them. Also working with the visual restful states is related to what in traditional Buddhism is called the formless absorptions, arupya dhyana. So there's a historical tradition behind it. And of course, working with just relaxing into the posture is in Zen called shikantaza, or just sitting. So there's also a historical tradition behind that. So there's a tradition behind working with body rest as an entire path to enlightenment, or working with visual rest as a way to transcend materiality. So what about auditory rest? Well, what would auditory rest be? How many people have noticed as we sit that you have mental talk? Okay? Now, we're not particularly focusing on the mental talk this time. I think last time we probably worked with that. But you might notice that sometimes the mental talk stops spontaneously. It just stops, maybe for a second or two, or maybe for a longer duration, that mental chatter just comes to an end. You could tune into the absence of mental chatter as a kind of presence of mental quiet. Now, mental chatter is auditory thinking. So if you didn't have auditory thinking, then in your talk, in your what I call talk space, in your head, at your ears, where you normally hear your mental talk, you might have an experience of mental quiet. That would be an experience that is both restful and auditory. Well, that would be a form of hear rest that may or may not happen to you. Another possibility is you could be in a place where there's no external sound. So if you listen, you would just hear silence. Well, that also would be an experience of hear rest. Where I live, in winter, it's very silent. I live in northern Vermont. I think you all have an idea of where would that would be. I live in a forest of oak tree, and pine, and maple. And so in winter, you can't hear anything. You don't hear any voices. I'm away from things. You don't hear any radios or televisions. You don't hear any wind when the snow is on the ground. So every night when I go to sleep, I listen to the absence of sound as a presence of silence. That's here rest. And that's very delicious for me because I grew up in a very different city. I grew up in Los Angeles, California, and I had a center downtown in Los Angeles. And you would never hear rest in the outside world, okay? There was always traffic and people and things going on. So you could be in an environment where there aren't any sounds. And if you wanted, you could tune into that absence of sound as a presence of silence. That would be another experience of hear rest. Well, let's say that you're in a place where there is sound. Well, is the sound in all six directions? Do you hear the sound on the right, left, in front, behind, above, and below? If so, good. That's expansion. The sound is on all sides, and you can expand out and merge with that space. However, it is also possible that in one of those directions, you don't hear any sound. When you're in a place where there is sound, maybe the sound isn't on all sides. Maybe if the sound is on the right, but if you listen on the left, there's silence. So if you wanted to, you could tune into the absence of sound on the left as a presence of silence on the left. And that would be auditory rest, hear rest. So there are a number of ways that auditory rest might be available at some time to a certain person. However, it may not be available often to you. Don't worry. You can always focus on feel rest or see rest. However, since sometimes hear rest is available, I'd like to explore that possibility for a few minutes just to complete the trio of body, of visual, body, and auditory. So we're going to explore the possibility of hear rest now for you. But don't worry if you don't detect any. If there's sound on all sides and the mental talk never stops and there's no hear rest, that's okay. We're just going to look into the possibility of it. We're going to start with mental label, and the label is hear rest. Obviously, the mental label is an example of herein, right? The mental label is talk, but we're not going to label the label. And the mental label points to the here rest. It doesn't get in the way of it. That's how we're going to think about it. It points our attention to that. So just for the fun of it, we're going to explore if this is happening for anyone at this time, and then we'll have some discussion. Take a moment to stretch up and settle in. Now bring your experience, bring your attention to your auditory experience. On the activation side, there may be external sounds. There may be internal mental talk. However, it's possible that for a moment, the mental talk may end, and you hear mental quiet in your head, at your ears, where normally there is mental talk. You can note that experience as here rest. Or it could be that in some direction of space around you, right, left, front, back, up, or down, in one of the six directions, there might be an absence of sound. And if you focus in that direction, you can note that as here rest. For some people, not for everyone, but for some people, even when sound is present, they can hear something restful behind the sound, between the sound, within the sound, around the sound. If you hear something restful behind, within, or around sound, that's also here rest. For some people, they can find something restful behind, within, or around their mental talk. If you find something restful behind, or inside, or all around your mental talk, that's also here rest. So let's explore for a few minutes if any of these experiences are available. If not, that's fine. Just be aware of the auditory activity. Okay, good. So, now we've explored body, visual, and auditory restful experience. Working individually. In a little while, I'm going to show you how to work with all of the restful states as a single integrated technique. We've learned so far three individual ways of working. So before we go further, I'd like to open it up for your questions, your reports, comments, and so forth, about what we're doing in specific, but also in general with regards to the mindfulness practice. If you have questions, we can respond to those. Yes?
Regarding the image rest, the visual rest, how can you tell the difference between a mental image, like a, view or something that comes up, and how should I call it, a visual artifact, like spots or stuff?
Okay, very good. I thought maybe that's what you were going to ask. So the question was, how can you tell the difference between a mental image, what I call a mental image, or CN, is, if you read the manual, that's my label for mental image, CN. So how can you tell the difference between CN and maybe just sort of spots or colors or geometric patterns that you might see? That's the question. So as, remember, I go back to something I said at the very beginning, that this is going to be like a science. We're going to be fussy about definitions. And at first it seems arbitrary and complicated, but then later on you realize, oh, there's a reason for that. So CN, or mental image, we're going to define it as visual thinking. So that means things like you see a person or a place or a physical object or a spatial relationship between objects. That's visual thinking. You're having a thought that's coming through a visual mode. You're having a memory. You're planning something. You're fantasizing something that is entertaining you or frightening you, that you're worried about. Those kinds of visual experiences are CN, or mental image. The colors and spots and whatever, they're part of sea rest. They're just part of the darkness, brightness. So that wouldn't be a CN, and that's how I would distinguish them. So you ask yourself, well, see, we don't think in terms of colors or geometric patterns, you know, abstract patterns. We think in terms of people, places, objects. So if you're thinking about a person, a place, or a physical object, if you're thinking about your own appearance, or where you are now, all of that is CN. And if CN happens, that's fine. When we're focusing on rest, you sort of look around it or through it to the background of nothingness, which is where it comes from and where it goes to. But of course, if you're doing the focus in technique, which you'd note that as CN. Okay? Was that an adequate answer to your question? Okay, good. I just have to write a note to myself. All the things I have to cover in just one day. Many of you will be leaving. Most of you will be leaving. We're just getting started. You know, some mindfulness teachers won't let you do less than 10 days. Okay? If you want to do it, you have to do 10 full days. Because in 1 or 2 days, that's just enough time to get really uncomfortable. you don't get a chance to break through and et cetera, et cetera. So it's too bad you have to leave so soon. But anyway, we do what we can do. Yes, did I see another hand? Yes.
I just wanted to be clear when you talk about labeling. Are you always talking about mental talk when you're labeling?
Typically one uses mental talk to do labeling. However, in theory, the labels could be spoken out loud. So there could be another modality. And as I say, it's even possible to digitally label. Label just means that you have some way of representing. Typically, it's an auditory way of representing what you've acknowledged. So the three options for labels are speak the label out loud, think the label mentally, and then the third option is don't label. You just have the rhythm of acknowledge, focus, acknowledge, focus. So let me give you an example of speaking the labels out loud. Feel in, gone, see out, gone, see out, feel in, gone, see rest, feel rest, see in, see flow, feel in, gone, see out, see out, feel in, gone, feel rest, hear rest, feel in, gone, see out, feel in, gone, see out, gone, see out, gone, feel in, gone, see rest, hear rest, hear rest, see in, gone. Okay, that's what I was experiencing as I was sitting here in front of you. I spoke the labels out loud. Feel in, gone, feel in, gone, see rest. You note, I'd like you to notice 4 things about what I did. The first was that there was a kind of gentle, matter-of-fact quality to my voice. That gentle, matter-of-fact quality induces equanimity. If you're freaking out about something, you all understand this idiom, right? Freaking out, you're losing it, you're overwhelmed, you're suffering. Something's getting to you. If you force yourself to label out loud in an equanimous voice, you're faking it. If you can fake it for about a half hour, you will probably spontaneously fall into authentic equanimity. That's one of the, that's a very strange thing. It's miraculous. But I've discovered in working with people that it's true. People call me all the time. And usually they call me because something horrible has happened. And they need some support. And sometimes it's so horrible that they're crying. They're just out of control. I give them a little while to talk, you know, about it because they need to talk. But then at some point, I will ask them, okay, we're going to start. Is it okay? We're going to start noting now. And in between screaming and crying, I say, if you want to scream, if you want to cry, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. However, I want you to speak the labels out loud and fake equanimity in your voice, fake, gentle matter of fact. And almost always within a half hour, that person falls into equanimity. This is something that the psychotherapists of the world should know. I mean, it's a major discovery in helping people deal with challenges, physical and emotional. Anyway, first thing to notice that when I did it, feel in, gone, feel rest, feel in, gone, see rest, gone, see rest. First thing you notice is that the equanimity in the voice. That creates equanimity in consciousness. Second thing you may have noticed was that there was a continuity in the labeling. There weren't gaps. And that pace that I gave you, that was my natural pace for noting. However, your pace for noting may be faster or slower. But you'll everyone has a pace, and it need not be regular like a metronome, okay? It can be, or it can be somewhat irregular, but there is a pace to it, and it's not too fast, not too slow. If it's too fast, it will make you frenetic, but if it's too slow, your concentration is breaking down. There's gaps in the continuity of concentration. So the fact that it's continuous enough guarantees some degree of concentration. So the gentle matter-of-fact quality in your voice, as you label, induces equanimity. The pacing helps with your concentration. And then, as you may have noticed, the labels were incredibly detailed and precise. I was giving you enormous information as to what kind of experience was dominant in my awareness at any given instant. And there were 12 different states that I was distinguishing for you, okay? It was see, hear, feel times in, out, rest, flow. And then the 13th was when something disappeared, that was gone, okay? So I was noting 13 sensory phenomena. Now, of course, it takes a lot of practice, but that is enormous precision and sensory clarity. And so the wording of the labels, the wording guarantees a certain amount of sensory clarity. So the three characteristics of mindful awareness, concentration, clarity, and equanimity, are all helped by the way that you make the mental labels. The fourth thing that you may have noticed, feel in, gone, see rest, gone, feel in. Fourth thing you may have noticed is, I can start this instantly, anytime. See out, feel in, gone, feel flow, see out. There's no hesitation. I don't have to sit for a half an hour and get grounded in order to note what's going on. And I would strongly encourage you all to learn how to do that. In English, we have an idiom. I don't know if there's an equivalent in Hebrew. The idiom is to stop on a dime. It means instantly stop something. Well, I reversed that idiom. I made a new expression in English. Start on a dime. It means don't hesitate. Just start right now. See out. See out. Feel in. Okay? Now, I like to answer your questions, but what's fair is fair. I also ask questions, and I want you to answer them. Try to answer. Why do you think it's important to be able to start noting instantly, without hesitating? Why would that be important? You can make a guess. Yes. A little louder, please. If Exactly. You in daily life, between the stimulus and the response, there is a gap. Therein lies your freedom. Who said it? He was Jewish. Huh?
Viktor Frankl.
Yes, that's correct. Viktor Frankl. That's the English translation anyway. Okay, I'm not sure what the, maybe it was English or German. German. Between the stimulus and the response, there's a gap. Therein lies your freedom. Okay, for most people, that gap does not exist. They don't notice that gap. Okay? The stimulus happens, and before they realize it, they're responding. The ability to instantly note will create that space of freedom for anyone in daily life. So that's why. That's why it's important. But I liked the way you put it, the way you expressed it. You said to instantly connect. That's very deep. You chose the word connect. Because each time we note something, we're actually merging with that thing. We're deeply creating a connection between inside and outside so that we collapse the space. And the ability to instantly connect to what is coming in through your senses is the ability to always be connected, to not have your, to not be alienated from your source, the spiritual source, moment by moment. So that was a good choice of words. Yes.
From my impression, if somebody's feeling distress and if he's able to instantly turn this on, he gains the ability to choose how to react.
Exactly. That's another way to say the same thing. You have freedom, okay? So that's good. Other questions or comments? Yes. Okay, so you had two questions, and the first one is it the goal to have no spontaneous thoughts? Because some of my best thoughts come just spontaneously. Some of my creativity comes that way. So maybe it's a little, if the goal is to have no thoughts or no spontaneous thoughts, then won't that cut down on my creativity? I think that's what is implied by your question. Is that correct? Okay, this is very interesting. And this is a question that we do get asked. So let me make a metaphor. You understand what I mean by this? An analogy, a comparison. So let's say you are a person that is a compulsive eater. You cannot resist eating, and you eat too much, and it's bad for your health because you can't stop eating. And then you get cured of compulsive eating. You don't eat compulsively anymore. You work through the pathological forces that were driving you to eat in that way. So now you can choose when you're going to eat and how much and what kind. So will the person that has overcome compulsive eating die of hunger? Will they get less hungry or less healthy? No, they're going to get more healthy. The person that has worked through compulsive thinking does not stop thinking forever. Okay? In fact, for the first time, they can really think in a healthy way. When they want to think, they can think, and it's deep and powerful. When they don't want to think, or they want to avoid certain kinds of thoughts, they can do so at will. So the issue is not to get rid of thinking. The issue is to get rid of the unconsciousness and drivenness behind thinking. Then, so it's like, here's another analogy. I never thought of this before. So imagine that, you know what a fire hydrant is? A fire hydrant. Huh? Yeah. How do you say it?
Mataf.
Mataf?
Mataf.
Two words. First word is berez.
Berez?
That's like a hose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like faucet. Kibui.
Kibui.
Like extinguisher.
Ah, berez kibui. Okay. So have you ever seen what happens if a car hits a berez kibui? Okay. It's like shoots up into the air, right? Okay. That's what thinking is to the normal person. It's like, what was it again?
Berez
kibui? Kibui.
Yeah, it could be either.
Berez kibui that has been sheared off. It never stops. Now, a fire hydrant is useful. You want to be able to have that faucet, okay? The berez available. But you want to be able to control it. There's a time when you want to turn it on, and there's a time when you want to turn it off. Most people can never turn it off. It's an explosion that's going on all the time. When you become a successful meditator, now you have a berez on thought. When it's time to think, you turn it on, and it really works well. When you want tranquility, you turn it off, and you can have that. So it's a matter of freedom. And what you're going to discover is that your thoughts are going to become even more creative. Okay? Even more creative. Because they're... this is interesting. I could get a little carried away here, huh? But we're doing observing now. In this case, we're observing restful states, but we can observe other states when we do mindfulness practice. As a result of observing, you get insights, aha experiences. Like suddenly out of nowhere, you just know something, okay? But there are different levels of aha, okay? There's different levels of insight. And what we're interested in is the really deep levels of insight. But you'll discover that the clarity and concentration and equanimity are going to actually increase all your levels of insight. You'll get more creative thoughts that, like for arts and sciences, you get more creative thoughts. You get more wisdom on a psychological level. But what we're really interested in is the spontaneous wisdom that is at a spiritual level, that shows you something beyond the self. Okay? So all of those get fostered by the practice. So you don't have to worry that you're going to learn creativity. You don't have to worry you will lose creativity. I'm almost 68 years old. And at 68, I am much smarter than I was at 28. Much smarter. Why? Because of a lifetime of meditation. Okay? It helps your mental creativity. So I can assure you in that direction. Okay, good. Yes, in the back.
Present time, all the time, noting that
Now I see in. Now I see out. Now I see in. It creates for me this overwhelming feeling of time.
An overwhelming feeling of what?
Time.
Okay. Can you give me?
It's hard to stay in this position. I need to rest for me.
Oh. I think I understand, but I will ask more questions. I'm going to repeat what I think you said, and if I don't get it right, correct me. So, I'm sorry, I've already forgot your name. Well, we did, didn't we say it?
Yakir.
Yakir? Okay. When you said I'm aware that I'm pulled to external stimuli, I see out, I hear out, I have physical sensations. But I'm also pulled in the opposite direction. I see into the mental image, I hear into my mental talk, I have emotional body sensations. So this inner system activates and then the outer system activates and I'm aware of being pulled back and forth between them. And that's in some ways an overwhelming experience for you. No, I didn't get it right.
What I said now is overwhelming all the time, noting. Acknowledging that things are changing so fast that now I see in, now I hear in all the time, creates for me an overwhelming experience that I need to rest for.
Okay. I think I'm starting to understand, but I'm going to ask a little further. Are you saying that to attempt to mentally label this is overwhelming because too much is happening too fast? Okay. So where the difficulty lies is in the fact that the experiences are happening faster than you can mentally label. Is that correct? Okay. But you can be aware of the experiences as they're happening. Okay. And you can sort of acknowledge them. Is that correct? That you can clearly acknowledge them. Are they happening too fast to individually focus on? You only have time to clearly acknowledge. Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting into some subtleties. So the noting consists of a moment of acknowledging and then you intently focus. But sometimes things disappear so quickly that you only have time to acknowledge and not intently focus. So there's actually several issues. One is the acknowledging, the other is the intent focusing, and the other is making a mental label. So things can happen so fast that you can't label them, but you can acknowledge focus. Or they can happen so fast that you can only acknowledge and you have no time to focus. I think you're reporting that last thing. Is that correct? Did I nail it? Did I get it just exactly right?
Yes, this is the situation.
Okay, good.
Also frustrating because there is so much of it.
Okay, good. I mean, not good that you're frustrated, but good that I understand what you're saying and I have some suggestions. But also good because you're getting an insight. You're getting an insight into how intense and continuous the forces of in and out are. Okay? So that's a good insight. It may be an uncomfortable insight, but it's a good insight. So as far as noting goes, if there's only time to acknowledge that's fine. Okay? Then don't worry about doing anything else. Just acknowledge. When something, now I have more questions. When something arises on an inner activation or an inner activation or an outer activation, when it arises, it immediately disappears. Is that correct? It can last. Seconds? Okay, fine. Doesn't necessarily immediately disappear. So, okay. So this gets to a more general question that actually someone already asked, so maybe it's time to address this. Because so much is happening so quickly, the way that you can get a handle on it is divide and conquer, okay? So for a period of time, you just focus out and ignore in. So in is happening, and but that's okay, you're just going out. Until you become completely one with out, the force of out. Then for a little while, you just focus in, ignore the out, until you become one with the force of in. Then now you've become intimate, you become familiar with both. So when the whole system activates, your habit of awareness is still there and you're not overwhelmed. So that's divide and conquer. Break the task into individual tasks by working with pieces and then working with the whole. Now let's say that's insufficient. You're still overwhelmed. Then the next axiom is subdivide until you do conquer. Okay, subdivide. Break it into smaller pieces. Work just with C out for a little while. How long is a little while? 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 months. I worked with C out for 5 months once because my teacher, Sasaki Roshi, said, gave me the first koan, when you see the flower, how do you experience true love? And I had to see him four times a day, okay, at retreats. And he asked me the same question. And he was asking me to have an experience of seeing the world that was so intense that there was no separation between me and the flower. And the answer to that koan is not anything I could say. I had to look at a flower the same way he looks at a flower. Okay? So 5 months, just see out, just practicing that until I could actually do that. So you can work with just the see out, just the hear out, just the feel out. Then you can work, okay? Then work with them together. Then just the see in, just the here and just the feeling, and work with them together. Then work with everything. And you'll discover that the concentration, clarity, and equanimity has become second nature. It's in the circuits. It's not you meditating. Your circuits, it's like training individual muscles, like doing a Nautilus cycle. You train this muscle, then you train this muscle, then you train this muscle. Finally, you discover your whole body is strong. And that strength is always present for you. So if everything at once is overwhelming, that's okay. Divide it into smaller pieces until you've trained each circuit to be mindful. In the end, there is no person that sits and meditates. In the end, the habit of meditating meditates. And that's enlightenment, okay? You're not here doing meditation. All the meditation you've done is doing you. You know how when you drive a car, have you ever had the experience? Get in the car, arrive at the location, and in between, where was I? It's like, how did I get here? However, you did not have an accident. Okay, we know that. Okay, you did not crash. You got in the car. An hour later, you're at the destination. Who drove the car? If someone were to ask, tell me in words the name of the person that drove the car when that happened, you wouldn't know what to say. You can't name that person. How can we explain the fact that you get in the car and you safely drive without a you? We can say, the only thing we can say is, the habit of driving drove. The fact that deep down, your circuits knew how to do this without a self organizing it. The habit of driving drove. Eventually, you want to reach the point in meditation where the habit of meditating meditates. And there's no you. Well, how do you get to that point? Well, one way to do it is to train each part of your nervous system individually and then collectively into the habit of mindfulness. So is that a sufficient answer to your question? I will give you more, even more. Let's see, how much more? Well, I think that's sufficient for now. Yes.
I think it's parallel to the thing you're talking. I noticed that sometimes it comes together, like the sounds and the hills in the same near red. It's like I feel it. And when it came together, some of the sounds and some of the hills. Can it be?
I need to ask some questions to make sure I understand. Are you saying that more than one kind of rest is present at the same time? More than one kind of rest is present at the same time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that can happen. Now, in a little while, probably I was planning this afternoon, but we're running out of time. But this, if not now, then tomorrow, I'm going to show you how to work with the whole system of rest. Now, there's two ways to do that. One is, if more than one rest is available at the same time, you just choose one. That's the simple way. But the more complicated way is you can note as many restful states as may be there. So you can see, hear rest, or you can even have all rest. But that's too complicated to go into at this retreat. However, it is described in the manual how to do it. I call that inclusive noting, okay? So you can, if you wish, I won't have time to cover it in these few days, but if you wish, you can actually note every kind of rest at once. And that becomes very interesting and delicious. Okay, so let's see here. Can we go? I know we have a lot of important questions. I think someone had a strong question.
Question about the habit, but it's good.
I'm sorry?
I had a question about the habit.
Okay, let's see if we can quickly address that.
Because it's a habit when I'm all of my senses, like because I'm so good at what I do, I'm automatically there doing, watching the road, hearing the cars, know how to, even if I don't remember how I got. So even habit, there is a me, but it's really, really accurate that I don't have to put my awareness all the time on the road.
Well, it's hard to put to rephrase. the I can't rephrase that question. Let me just answer. It depends on what you want to call me, okay? The me that drives when there's no surface me is a me that's so deep that it's not a me. Okay. Okay. So our let's see here. I would like to give a little more instruction. It's 4 o'clock, though. It's after 4 o'clock, actually. We're due to go to 4:30. Is that correct? Let's just see what our schedule says here. 4:30. Okay, we have a walking meditation. Okay. Let us. Are we? You think you're okay for another 20 minutes or so? Can we keep on going? If you need to use the bathroom, just you can go and come back then. Okay. We have worked. We've learned three techniques. We've learned how to focus on feel rest. We've learned how to focus on see rest. We've learned that sometimes hear rest is available. So we're going to, I'm going to show you now how to focus on, how to work with the whole restful system. So what you do is you, at any given instant, one of the restful states may be available. Oh, well, we know for sure at any given instant that at least one restful state will be available. So we'll call. So when that happens, if only one restful state is available, you tune into that and you note that. If more than one restful state is available, then just choose one to focus on. It doesn't matter which. That will keep things simple. So now you're going to let your awareness move from restful state to restful state. So I'll do it now. I'll do it out loud. See rest. See rest. Feel rest. Hear rest, see rest, feel rest, see rest, hear rest. Okay? Get the general idea? Let's explore that for a couple minutes, and then we'll do a little more discussion. Stretch up and settle in. The settling of your body is, of course, feel rest. If your eyes are closed, there's the dark and or bright, which is see rest. If your eyes are open but defocused, that's also see rest. And perhaps the mental talk will stop for a moment, or there'll be a direction in space where there is no sound and so forth. Hear rest. We know that active states are going to be present. They'll be see in, hear in, feel in. See out, hear out, feel out. That's okay. Let things activate, but our interest will be in the restful states. Let your attention broadly float. At whatever pace works for you, at any given instant, noting the restful state that you are drawn towards.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Good work. So now we'll have a period of walking practice. You can practice the restful states while you walk or any other meditation technique that you may like. And then in a half hour, we'll come back here and have a final sit before dinner.